thought the world was supposed to be shut down. Apparently not for me and David Ellison.
No, not for you. You know what I thought? I thought, you know, when the world was about to end, that everybody would just be banging, and I'd be getting a part of that. But this is the exact type of thing to keep that from happening.
No, absolutely. I mean, look, that's it. I mean, look, everything kind of shut down, and the labels and our tour. We had an Australia-Japan tour that shut down our whole, you know, it got moved to next year now. It just got rescheduled to next February. It was awesome. It was me, David, Chris Poland. Chris is opening. I'm singing for Chris, kind of doing double duty. And then Chris is coming up with us in the encore, and it's so great. We were so excited to do it. And we did one show last year in Fullerton at the Slide Bar and with Chris, and he came up and did Pieces and The Conjuring or something with it, and it was amazing. I mean, and people lost their minds. So we had the chance to go do it again in Australia and Japan, so we're like, yeah, let's do it. And then we were actually working on booking a couple U.S. dates in July when this whole thing happened. So who knows what the hell is going to happen, but nobody even knows. If we didn't announce it, we didn't tell anybody. We were actually working on booking just a small handful of, you know, David had a little bit of time between the Megadeth tours, and we were booking just a handful of shows with me and David and Chris again. And it just, who knows now, unfortunately. I was literally in the middle of booking them when the world shut down. I'm like, come on.
Well, you know what? I'm going to leave all that in.
Now the whole world's going to be like, come on.
I never even got a chance to introduce you. So let me go back here. I'm going to just do a quick open. We're going to edit all this in and, you know, because it's We Talk Music on the Air and in your ear. Once again, I am no Brett this time because we want to have a good podcast. But luckily, no Brett means more of me, and even more importantly, means more of my guests. Because you, sir, have done, I think, is there any part of the music industry you haven't worked in? You know, journalist,
no.
Musician, record executive, Tom Hazard.
That's what the world needs, more of me. Call Brett.
You ever met Brett? You wouldn't be saying that.
I've done it all, man. I was a manager for many years and did a lot of marketing stuff with like Limp Bizkit and Stained and Cold and Linkin Park and Incubus, and I, you know, interned at Immortal Records and worked with a lot of those bands real early on, Korn and Incubus and Far, and then I did marketing stuff for all the major labels for years when they still existed and put out records. And yeah, I did a lot of stuff, and you know, management, journalism. Obviously, I wrote a book with Ellison last year, writing a book with Poland now. Now I'm the singer in Dave's solo band, and I've always kind of been a producer. And yeah, man, I just sort of wear a lot of hats on my giant head.
Did you always have an itch to get on stage and sting?
There was, I thought you were going to say, did you always have a giant head? And I was going to say, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand.
No, honestly, I never had an itch to get on stage ever. I've always been like, eh, you know, not really my thing. I was like writing and writing for other people. And there's a lot of bands where I'd write lyrics and kind of produce their songs I didn't. I never had an itch to get on stage. Honestly, I never had the desire. I mean, look, I played in bands when I was a kid and, you know, was in bands that did Megadeth and Pantera and Metallica covers. And you know what I mean? I did that stuff. But yeah, no, honestly, not really. It's funny. I've played in a few original bands over my time, especially when I was younger, and here and there I'll sing in a cover band for fun. And yeah, I just ended up doing this thing with David by accident. He just needed somebody to sing some Megadeth songs during the Bass Story tour. I was there anyway because I was his manager, and little did he know I'd been training for that moment my whole life, singing Megadeth songs in cover bands. And I do a pretty respectable Mustaine, if I do say so myself. And through that, it just turned into us writing songs and doing this stuff together. It turned into like a full-fledged solo band. Like, it was not planned. It was not, you know, it's some sense of, wow, I want to go be a rock star. It was just totally organic and cool. And I guess that was the cool part about it. You know, it was just totally organic. Me and David had everything else together. We're like, well, we might as well try making music together too. And that, that worked really well also. So.
Well, speaking of everything you're doing, I mean, the real reason we are here is to talk about the Osei Can You Stream event on April 11th, because, I mean, this is a great thing that you guys are doing here. That's, you know, the Schools Out initiative with the Dave Ellison Youth Youth Music Foundation is a trip of my own words. It is, yeah. I was starting, and then I was thinking, you know, what else do I want to throw in? And that's it. I'm done. But it's awesome. So I know you're co-hosting it with him. What else is your role, kind of behind the scenes and putting this together?
I mean, the whole thing was my idea. I put it all together. Me and David, you know, like, David's kind of always the ambassador. I'm like, here, hit up this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. And a lot of the people we mutually know. So I hit up a lot of them. Look, I'm pretty much the one, you know, producing the whole show and co-hosting it. And kind of the whole thing, the whole responsibility for it all falls on my shoulders. If it's a failure, if it's a train wreck, so a lot. I mean, really, I'm kind of the producer of the whole event as well on the technical side and everything. I've literally been on the phone all day. Literally, right now, as we're talking, Daniel De Los Reyes from the Zac Brown Band is trying to call me. I just got off the phone with Alice Cooper's publicist right before I talked to you. It's been a nonstop barrage between the guests and dealing with coordinating everything. And today, huge press came out from Rolling Stone and Billboard. And I mean, it's been just crazy.
Yeah, crazy. Sounds like it. You guys are, well, I mean, it's you know, it's because it's such a good thing. So many people are going to want to get behind it, though, right? What is the Schools Out initiative? I mean, so for people on initiative.
Yeah, so basically, I was talking to David, and I have two daughters, and they were stuck home from school and kind of restless like everybody else. And typically when we started the foundation, the focus was, providing support to school music programs, private music programs, and to individual students. It kind of focused in rural areas. I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Dave's from Jackson, Minnesota, where the Midwest Metal Mafia. So we kind of have a special, fondness for smaller. And again, we're partnered with the Grammy Music Education, the Grammy Music Education Coalition, another mouthful. Yep. And their focus is more on inner cities and urban areas. So it's cool. We kind of focus more on these little Midwest rural sort of areas, and they're kind of focused more on the urban areas, which is wonderful. So when the whole COVID-19 thing happened and the school shut down, I'm like, why don't you do some free lessons for kids? Just it'll be a good, fun, feel good thing. And then the response, it was just crazy. We're like, and we just said, well, why don't we recruit some other people to do this? And I hit up the Grammy Music Education Coalition director, Lee Whitmore, and mentioned our idea. And like kind of on the spur of the moment, I was like, and we're going to get some of our other friends to do it. So we did. We called up Kiko and Dirk and Chris Kale from Five Finger Death Punch. And David called a bunch of his friends. I called a bunch of my friends. I should really have the press release open so I can go down the list and read everybody's name, but I don't. But
I have it right here if you want me to.
Go ahead. You read it then.
You know what? I think first off, the first thing we want to do is we want to make sure everybody knows exactly where they're going to be able to see it. So you mentioned the Grammy Music.
We're talking about two different things. So now I'm talking about just the Schools Out initiative.
Schools Out initiative. Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the Schools Out initiative, so which is basically rock stars giving lessons online to kids who are stuck at home because of the COVID-19 crisis, not being able to go to school. And we're also giving some instruments and some gear to some underprivileged kids who just kind of don't have it. So through that, we came up with the idea to do the Oh Say Can You Stream streaming fundraiser, which is the next segue to the fundraiser. So you asked me to explain the
Schools Out initiative. Sorry about that.
That's okay. There's a lot. I get confused. But the Schools Out initiative has been so great. I mean, all these wonderful people that have, been so supportive of this. Again, Chris Kale from Five Finger Death Punch and Bumblefoot and Chad Zaliga from Black Star Riders and formerly Breaking Benjamin and Nita Strauss and Terry Aluse from XYZ, formerly a Great White, and all these great people that have been giving their time to give these lessons. Clint Lowry from Seven Dust. Really just a phenomenal group of people. We have a wonderful group of friends who have been so wonderful and supportive. And, so through that, we sort of kind of dug into that pool a little bit for the Oh Say Can You Stream thing, except we just cast a wider net. I mean, I'm friends with Drake Bell. I hit him up, It's like just really, we didn't want to make it all be totally metal either, So we kind of have, we have Drake Bell, we have Daniel De Los Reyes and John Hopkins from the Zac Brown Band. We have, Frank Hannum from Tesla. We kind of got some more rock stuff. We got DMC, Mm-hmm. So again, there's kind of, and then of course we have Alice and Cheryl Cooper. They're going to come on and talk about their work with the Alice Cooper Solid Rock, which is wonderful. And again, just a laundry list of people. I mean, I'll go down the list. This list I have open: Bumblefoot, Clint Lowry from Seven Dust, Nita Strauss, The Loyal Order, Terry Eluse, Mark Slaughter. I'm slaughtering Terry's name. Speaking of Slaughter, I never know how to pronounce it. And he even just corrected me the other day. So sorry, Terry. DMC, Danny Cooksey, Jason McMaster from Dangerous Toys and Broken Teeth, Dirk Verburen and Kiko from Megadeth, Mark Wiseguy Weiss, Daniel and John from the Zach Brown Band, Elias from Nonpoint, Alex Skolnick, Rob Caggiano from Volbeat, Greg Hetson from the Circle Jerks, Jason Beeler from Saigon Kick. This list is so long. It's awesome. But again, you can go to our website and find this whole list. Charlie Benante, a bunch of the cast of Clerks, Scott Schiaffo, the Chili's Gum Guy, Brian O'Halloran, who Dante, obviously, Marilyn Giuliani, who sucked 37 dicks in a row. Ernie O'Donnell. Rick
in
Garrett.
A row? Exactly. It'll never not be funny.
So look, I mean, it's going to be, we have Lou Temple from The Walking Dead, Larry Thomas, the soup Nazi from Seinfeld. I mean, it's really this random, cool Chibs Enough, PJ Farley from Trickster and Raw. I mean, again, a lot of my buddies, and it really embraces the scope of like kind of 80s classic rock to kind of modern metal to the pop culture realm, which, you know, is kind of my forte. So I kind of dipped into that a little bit. Again, Drake Bell, you know what I mean? Who's awesome and one of my dear friends for years and years and years. And we all, everybody kind of banded together to support this great thing that we were doing, you know?
And you got the coolest friends, I got to say. Now, it's also hosted by, I guess, Don Jameson, Craig Gass is going to be there, Jim Florentine.
Thank you.
And it's comedians, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
Don Jameson, Jim Florentine, Craig Gass, Ricky Rackman are all our co-hosts. My buddy Drew Fortier is also co-hosting, who we launched Ellison Films last year, and me and David are producing a film called Dwellers that Drew made. That's great. Me and Dave are actually in the movie too. We do a little cameo. It's basically like a found footage horror. It's great, man. It's kind of like Blair Witch Project meets Chud.
All right, I'm going to do a quick aside here. I'm going to do a quick aside because you brought that up there. Just a quick aside, and then we're going to get back to Osei Kenny's stream because, you know, that's really the important thing. But why didn't Shocker become such? Why didn't Shocker equal, you know, Freddy and Jason and all these other, you know, that movie? Why did it not reach the same pop culture phenomenon, do you think?
Look, Shocker, I don't see horror. I mean, look, I mean, look, it was a great movie. I think it stood the test of time. I mean, I did actually, I'm assuming you know this since you brought it up, but yeah. I did a couple of years ago, and this is kind of how me and David reconnected. I knew him when he was at PV and kind of did artist relations. I used to manage Chimera and Skin Lab and a bunch of bands that were PV artists. That was kind of how me and David originally met. But we reconnected over, I do some special features with Michael Felcher from Redshirt Pictures for Scream Factory and Shout Factory. I produced some stuff on People Under the Stairs, Army of Darkness, Return of the Living Dead, which was actually, I think, with Severn Films. That was actually with a different production company. We do all these, you know, great special features for kind of classic horror movies for Scream Factory. And I found out we just finished People Under the Stairs, and they told me they're doing Shocker. And Shocker is one of my favorite movies. I'm like, look, you have to let me do something about the soundtrack. So I produced like a 30-minute mini documentary about the Shocker soundtrack called The Music of Shocker that is on the Shout Factory Blu-ray edition that came out in 2015, I think. And I interviewed David and Jason McMaster and Bruce Kulick and Kane Roberts and Mitch Pileggi, who played Horace Pinker, was in it. It was really, really, really wonderful. It was a really cool experience, and getting to be a part of that Shocker. You know, again, I was like 13 when the movie came out, so to be able to formally be a part of that, you know, that canon was absolutely wonderful. But look, I think Shocker as it was, I mean, I don't really see Horace Pinker as like a, it wasn't really set up to be a franchise. I don't really see Horace Pinker as a franchise killer. I think as a standalone film, he was a great, you know, kind of subject, you know, but again, I don't think it was set up to really be a franchise like Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street. I think it was a great kind of classic, little bit campy standalone movie. But I don't think it was ever meant to be like a franchise thing. I think it was just meant to be like, you know, so many other great 80s horror movies, just a great standalone cult classic that 25 years later, we're still talking about.
Yeah, it sounds like we could talk about those 80s horror films for a long, long time. But I want more Horace Pinker personally. But back to Osei Kenny Street.
I have a giant Shocker soundtrack poster hanging over my desk. I stare at it all day long. I have another really cool Shocker little promo poster from No More Mr. Nice Guy. It has all the stations that are, it's got like Horace Pinker on it. It says Shocker, and it's like the new single from Megadeth, No More Mr. Nice Guy, now spinning on it. It has all the stations that I am a definitely, if you see my office in the world, it's like I live in a, 1992 time warp, honestly. Everything, you know, it really is.
That's where I'd like to be, too. So, all right. So, if it's going to be available at the Grammy Music Education Coalition.
On the Grammy Music Education Coalition Twitch channel, which I think is Grammy Music Ed, on David Ellison Facebook page, and then the David Ellison Youth. I mean, look, and David's YouTube page, which is just youtube.com/David Ellison. I mean, look, I think we're going to mostly be interacting with people on the YouTube and on David's Facebook page and on Twitch, you know, so again, but those will be kind of the main vessels, but I think it's actually, we found it yesterday. So there's a bunch of really cool, there's in Fresno, there's this music 24-hour broadcast music channel that's like an MTV. They're going to simulcast it and run the whole thing on there and on like a bunch of sister stations and a bunch of radio stations are simulcasting it now, and it's like turning into this huge crazy thing. Like, people are hitting me up all day long like, hey, we want to run it on here and we want to broadcast it here. And I'm like, wow, I wish I would have had like a month. I came up with this idea a week and a half ago. We put the together in a week, but I didn't have more time because this crisis is now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's topical. It's now. Like, I didn't want to set up something for a month from now. You know what I mean? It's just like, we need to get in this. We need to raise the funds. We need to do this now. We need to help people now, which is why, I mean, look, if I would have had 3 weeks to set it up, it would have been a lot more casual and a lot less stress. But I mean, again, to me, the crisis, it's a crisis. It's something we need to do now. We don't have a month. We don't even have, I mean, again, I really feel like it's something that we need to address now and do now. So I just put myself in the taffy puller and went, okay, I'm just going to make this all. We're going to do it in 2 weeks. But I woke up like Saturday or, you know, and I went, oh my God, this thing's in a week. I'm sure you've noticed time does not exist anymore.
No.
So, I mean, I don't even know what day it is half the time. I got a call from somebody kind of freaking out about the thing that they didn't get the info yet, thinking it was Friday. I'm like, oh no, it's Thursday. I'm going to send it on Friday. So I literally went through the whole conversation with them thinking it was Friday.
See, I mean, you got all this going on. You got all these balls in the air. You're juggling. There's also an event tomorrow, though. There's an acoustic set tomorrow that's being streamed as well, isn't there? That for the Italian Red Cross Foundation.
Yeah. Well, look. So we're gonna play our song "Simple Truth" acoustic. But yeah, we just released the single. Technically, it's supposed to come out tomorrow. We dropped it a couple days early. We actually ended up dropping it. We're supposed to do it tomorrow. You know, I was talking to David this morning. Like, there's always got to be a little element to chaos. Like, you know, so we dropped it 2 days early. It was kind of a frenzy. Everybody loved it. So, yeah, it came out yesterday, actually, on Bandcamp. All the proceeds from that are going directly to the song's called Simple Truth. And all the proceeds, I think, davidellison.bandcamp.com. And all the proceeds are going directly to the Italian Red Cross. We actually wrote the song in Italy. You know, we were in a tour rehearsal. We went to Europe last year and did a little tour. We did like 8 shows in Italy, a couple of shows in England, including the amazing show with KK Downing, the More Life with Death show at the in Wolverhampton at KK Steel Mill, which was absolutely incredible. And then we did a bunch of shows in Italy, and the country is always been so warm to David, and it was such a great experience for me. And that's what, and half of our band lives there. Our drummer and our guitar player live there. So we've been working there in quarantine, like at ground zero for this thing. Mm-hmm. And we're working back and forth on this record. Well, I'm stuck here. David's in Phoenix. And it's just, it's such a powerful thing that we're like, look, let's give back to Italy in some way. Our band's from there. So yeah, so we kind of just said, look, let's find a great charity that's kind of on the front lines of the COVID-19 crisis in Italy, and we came up with the Italian Red Cross. So we're donating all the proceeds from Simple Truth to them.
Well, that's great. I mean, I want to make sure everybody knows that I don't know if we mentioned the time. I believe it's 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, or on Saturday, on April 11th, and 2 p.m. And so, will this be available offline if people miss? It's going on for 9 hours, if I remember correctly. So people can obviously. Pardon me.
I think we're going to record it, and then I don't know if we're going to post the whole thing. It's an entirety. I'll probably just take certain chunks and post them on YouTube or something. It's just an 8-hour file would be monstrous to put up. You know, I might just do it by hours or chunks or certain interviews, or we are going to record the whole thing. We will archive in some fashion. You know, I'm not entirely sure how we're going to do that, but no, we're definitely going to archive, and we actually work with a bunch of, I mean, look, that's the great thing is, you know, we're doing all this. I actually work with a bunch of technology companies. You know, we partnered with Cisco on the Schools Out initiative, and they've been great. And I work with another company called Imagination Room that makes a bunch of really great apps. This app called Pool, which is like a photo, a great photo utility. And so we work with all these great tech companies that are sort of at the forefront of helping us figure out how to make all this stuff work on the tech side. To Dolby, we've been doing a lot of stuff. They have a new app called Dolby On that can stream directly. It's great. It records on your phone audio and video in like Dolby quality. And you can also live stream and stream directly to Facebook and Twitch and different platforms. It's we've had so much support from our friends and from our friends on the tech side, you know what I mean? Which is really wonderful, you know, to just help us figure out how to make all that. There's a couple other people I guess I have to mention. So my buddy, you know, Jason works for Cisco, Jason Gooley, and he has a thing called Metal DevOps. That's like a good, cool metal podcast thing that's kind of metal and technology. But he works for Cisco. So he tied us into Cisco, who are an amazing company. And they've actually, you know, we're working on a huge technology grant from them to get a bunch of their video conferencing terminals for the instructors for the Schools Out initiative. And my buddy has a service called Your Music Live that can basically take the RTMF feed and stream it out to multiple Facebook pages and YouTubes. And they've been kind of instrumental in helping me figure this out. So like, it's so great to have this wonderful tech team around me and all of our great friends who are supporting the thing and whatever. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great. I know you're a busy guy, so I don't want to really take too much more of your time here. I know you should get onto it, but
I can talk about this shit all day long.
I bet you could. And I bet you could. I do want to ask one thing, because it's a 9-hour show. I mean, it's for charity and this and that. But you got your Craig Gass, you've done, you know, Jim Florentine. Is it an all ages show for people that want to stream with their families?
Oh yeah. It'll be very family friendly. I mean, we'll probably get a little racier later on, but it'll definitely be family friendly. I mean, look, we might say fuck here and there, you know what I mean? It's rock and roll, you know what I mean?
It's rock and roll.
You know, I mean, it's not on network TV. We're not gonna be, but again, no, it'll be pretty family oriented. I mean, look, later on we have some kind of horror stuff and we're kind of showing a clip from Dwellers, but even that stuff is kind of tame, you know what I mean? Yeah, no, it's absolutely a family friendly broadcast, and you know, or we're going to try and keep it as tame as we can and whatever. I mean, you know, PG-13 at absolute worst, you know, so.
All right, PG-13, that's good.
Maybe PG, some guidance suggested.
Sounds great. Awesome.
But it's for kids. It's obviously with the Grammy Music Education Coalition. And I guess, obviously, we're going to keep it very, you know, I like the comedy. It's not really going to be a blue show or anything by any stretch of the imagination.
Hey, they're professionals, and Craig Gass is there. So, I mean, you're going to have Christopher Walken, I'm guessing, on the show, and you'll have Jane Simmons on in some fashion.
I'm just going to make
Sam Kinison, you know?
I'm just going to make Jim Florentine talk like special ed the whole time. That's kind of my. Hey, I've got mail.
I love it.
I've got mail. You've got mail? That's it. That's going to be the whole show for me.
Awesome. So I'm going to give you the chance to plug it, and then maybe someday we'll be able to get you back on We Talk Music here, and we'll get a chance to maybe we'll compare the soundtrack for Trick or Treat versus Shocker. That'd be a good one.
Man, that would be. You know what? Honestly, I love the Trick or Treat soundtrack, but it's all Fastway. I mean, it's great. Yeah. They're great songs, but I mean, Shocker. I mean, like Desmond Child, and I had a brain melt. But I interviewed Desmond Child too, who is amazing. He just put together such a great soundtrack. I mean, think about the iconic things. I mean, the Trick or Treat soundtrack is amazing. But again, it's just a bunch of kind of cool Fastway songs that sound awesome in that movie. I think the Shocker soundtrack stands alone over and above kind of as a soundtrack just from the variety. I mean, like Demon Bell, No More Mr. Nice Guy. I mean, there's some classic standout cuts, you know what I mean? And that's I don't know. That's a can of worms. I love both very, very, very much.
Yeah, they deserve a little extra. They deserve a little extra time spent on them. So please. Okay. One more time. Tell everybody where they can support this great cause.
We have you can find all the information at ellisonyouthmusicfoundation.org. If you can't remember all this, or you can find the David Ellison Youth Music Foundation on Facebook, Instagram at the DEYMF, and all the stuff you can kind of find on my social media, Tom Hazard, David's pages. The Grammy Music Education Coalition has a lot of stuff up about it. You can kind of find all the information everywhere. but you can stream it on the Grammy Music Education Twitch channel, David Ellison Facebook, David Ellison YouTube, the David Ellison Youth Music Foundation YouTube and Facebook as well. But again, kind of the main places we're going to be interacting with people is on Twitch, David's Facebook, and David's YouTube. So those are kind of the main, you know, places to catch it. If you're a Twitch cat, you can watch it on Twitch. If not, you know, just go jump the stream on David's Facebook. It's probably the and YouTube. Those are probably the main places we will interact. But I think it's going to be fun, man. It's a really, I mean, look, again, it's a lot of logistics figuring out how to do it and make it work. And but either way, it's going to be fun, man. We got a lot of really fun people, a lot of really funny people. We're going to, it's going to be fun. It's going to be like a marathon podcast of awesomeness.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it. So I hope nothing but the best for you. This is a great thing. Thanks so much, Tom, for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure. You might be the easiest interview ever. I got to be honest with you.
Wow. All
right. Yeah, you know, ask a question and you will go.
That's what, man, David is the same way too. It's so funny. Like, and even when you interview me and David do a lot of interviews together too. It's so funny. Like we never talk over each other. It's just, yeah, I mean, look, I've been doing this for a long time. There's one thing I know to do, it's talk. That might be it. That might be my only skill. I don't know.
You know what? It's funny, actually, because we talked to David recently, too, and there was times I was just listening to him, and I forgot I was on a podcast. So just, the guy's so wise. I'm like, he's the type of guy I imagine. He just says things without even realizing that can actually impact your life.
Well, the funny thing is, like, David, I mean, and people don't know this, and I say it, and people think I'm joking or kind of overstating it, but literally, David Ellison has been my idol since I was 14 fucking years old. Like, literally, yeah. Megadeth was my favorite band. Ellison was like my guy in the band. Like, I, you know, he was a kid from the Midwest, like me, moved to LA, kind of had the same similar life trajectory as me. I'm from Green Bay. I got on a Greyhound bus, moved to LA. Yeah. So again, it's so fortuitous that we kind of ended up working together. And again, he is, I listen to his, me and David probably talked 3 hours a day on the phone. And I still, he was on Eddie Trunk Friday. I listened to the whole thing and I'm like engrossed in every word he says still. Like, I talked to the guy more than anybody should ever talk to anybody. And again, I still listen to him and soak in every word he says. And he's wonderful, man. He really is so wise and so great. Again, being in a band with him, doing all these things with him. And again, I think he learns things from me and vice versa. You know what I mean? I think I've got a little more of a street level knowledge and hustle, and he's been there and done it all and been in the biggest arenas and, you know, the biggest festivals and the biggest things at the absolute top, as big as you can go. And I have, you know, but when you're at that level, you're kind of insulated from all the street level shit that, you know, guys like me do. So it's a really cool kind of complementation with me and David, you know, a yin and yang, if you will.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. You know, He could do like meditation tapes. He's got that tone, you know.
His voice is so funny. You watch old videos, and he's like, "Yeah, dude, totally." He's like, like that was Junior. He's like, "Oh, dude, totally, bro." The new Megadeth record. Then you hear him now, and he's like, "Hi, this is David Ellison." He's all like, he sounds like fucking Tom Brokaw. He's all like,
exactly.
And his voice is like 4 octaves deeper than it was in the 80s. It's the craziest thing. Seriously, go watch some old Megadeth interviews. You're like, "Oh yeah, dude, me and Dave are like writing the new record, bro." And it's, I mean, it's funny. He sounds like just a stone surfer valley kid. It's so funny. I watch the shit now and I just laugh. I mean, to me, it's hard to even fathom it's the same person, you know, because he was just so fun. It's so funny. I always send him shit. I'm like, "Dude, you're a valley girl."
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tom. This has been an absolute pleasure. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you guys. Shoot me a link when it's done. We'll send it out to the masses, and I'll send it to the 8 people that give a shit what I do, and thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you kindly. We're going to be ending this one up really quickly because obviously this event's right around the corner. We want people to support it.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you Saturday when you're watching the event.
Yes, you will. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, brother. Have a great day.